like to just walk you real quickly through Kaiser in Southern California so you know the context of which we're looking at. We offer comprehensive health care in Southern California to just over 3 million members with 30,000 births per year at 12 hospital medical centers and 92 outpatient clinics by over 3,500 providers. Included in this membership group are Medicare, Medi-Cal, Healthy Families, which is the California SCHIP. And in fact, there's two statistics that aren't on any of the slides that I'd like to just stop and mention at the moment. One in every three California kids is a Kaiser kid. Okay. Also, the LA Care and the various Medicare and Medicaid and so forth, almost 30% of our child members are in those disadvantaged populations that we care for. We also have vaccines for children program. Kaiser gives all its vaccines free to its members. I mean, it's included, you know, in the basic membership fee. But we don't have co-pays or extra charges on any vaccines because we believe that's a real preventive care issue. And so we would give those whether we had vaccines for children or not, but it was a real boon to us when we were accepted for vaccines for children. And we will, for example, continue to vaccinate kids who were Kaiser kids who now have no insurance at all and they come back. We'll keep giving them their shots. Oh, just so you know. At the moment, we're using two computerized systems to improve care. KITS, which is the Kaiser Immunization Tracking System, which is an immunization register, and has been around since 1993, and something brand new, Health Connect. This is Epicare, the new computerized medical chart, which is being installed, and I'll come to this in a minute. The immunization tracking system takes care of computerized recording and tracking of all immunizations and skin tests. It gives you a single integrated patient profile and centralized data access from any clinical area in Southern California. It's actually all held on our mainframe computer in Corona, which is about 90 miles from my office, for example. The goals of KITS are to improve immunization rates for all of our members and patients, to document adverse effects, which we can do, statistical reporting such as HEDIS and other ad hoc requirements. It's been a tremendous boon to us to HEDIS, for example, will accept KITS if the child is up to date at 2 years old in KITS. That's acceptable. If the child is not up to date in KITS, then we pull charts or look in Health Connect and update if there's anything left to update. In my medical center, for example, instead of pulling something like 400 charts a year, I'm down to about 10 for HEDIS. So, you know, we support vaccine research studies. I'm co-investigator for Southern California on CDC's National Vaccine Safety Data Link Study, which, as you know, immunization data right now is a very hot issue. And we participate in the development of community-based immunization registries. We previously heard someone mention LINC, which is the Los Angeles Area Immunization Registry. Kaiser is not yet a part of it. We will be. We are going to contribute to it on a statewide level because there's about 6 or 8 different registries now at the moment. Instead of writing interfaces to all of them, we're going to write the interface to the main one. However, I have one-way access into LINC. I can look up Kaiser Kids in LINC, which is a real boon, believe me. So, before I answer this question, it's been around since 1993. Kaiser has just over 3 million members. How many shots do you think are in KITS? Guess, come on. Million inoculations and over 4 million skin tests. Can you imagine pulling charts for a recall? KITS will automatically generate lists for recalls and what have you. Registries are marvelous. I can't say enough about them. So how do we use it? Any registry. I could take the word KITS out here and say any immunization register is by itself only a tool. It has limited ability. It's a great tool, but without the people implementing the stuff at the other end, it's not going to work. So we use kits to find patients who are behind in their immunizations, and we call them or send cards and ask them to come in. That's called outreach in Kaiser lingo. We also identify patients who are behind in their immunizations as they come in and register for their appointment. We call that inreach, but it's really a provider reminder saying, so-and-so's here today and they're, you know, their MMR was due 3 months ago. Do something about it. Okay. Then we have Health Connect. We're all still becoming accustomed to Health Connect. It's not universally in all of Southern California. It's going in by medical center, by departments. It's making the doctors and the nurse practitioners work much more, not more difficult, but longer to start with, because now they can't get away with simply saying, okay, and sign it, or well, child, and sign it. They have to document everything. And so they're taking a while to get used to it, but as they're getting used to it, they actually love it because all of their visits in any Kaiser in Southern California are there in the One Health Connect chart. And so it's currently being installed all over the country. It's from Epic, and I don't have any association with them, but just in case you want to know, it's from Epic in Wisconsin. And it's complete, nurses' notes, lab results, x-rays, you name it. However, their module for immunizations was not exactly up to the kit's standard, putting it mildly. For example, it can't automatically print the yellow California immunization record. Now, I'll swear that every parent of a newborn is given a quickie course in how to lose your kid's immunization record before they're sent home. And the nurses hate redoing them. I mean, this was having kids being able to, literally at the touch of one computer button, to print out the yellow card for the whole immunization history. And by the way, we'll do this. If you had Kaiser and, you know, you reach age 40 or 50 and you still need a card and you don't have Kaiser anymore, just call. We'll still send you the record. But this really made a difference. Well, Health Connect can't do that yet. So the Health Connect writers are upgrading this, and it probably will be upgraded by about 2009. Meanwhile, immunizations are ordered in Health Connect. The immunization administration is then entered into kits, and it's automatically ported. We wrote a one-way from kits into Health Connect. So it's in Health Connect, but meanwhile, we have all the advantages yet of kits. Routine interventions are carried out, and for example, age-related immunization deficiencies, which I've already remembered. Kits, clinic charts, and Health Connect are reviewed as needed. High-risk patients are contacted and urged to come in. Sometimes we make appointments. And this bottom one, which is kind of important, they may be ordered by the provider or for some vaccines and ages, like flu clinic, for example, or the routine 2-year-old or the routine 1-year-old. They can be given in a shot clinic under a policy and procedure protocol without having a specific patient order. And that makes life easy. A lot easier too. And if they come to the shot clinic, they don't pay a copay, which also helps. The immunization coordinators, and there's one for each of the 12 medical centers, do quality assurance, monthly audits of outpatient and inpatient data, and the results of these deficiencies are presented to individual providers and department administrators. So there's ongoing QA on the whole system and also on who's giving their shots or not. So the problem for today was that many Permanente members in high-risk groups have not received the flu shot historically. And this is what, for purposes here, there are other high-risk groups, but this is what we're talking about. And prior to 2005, I've got just 3 relevant ones here for you. All ages, if we take all the Kaiser ages together is 22%. That's not really epidemiologically the way to do it, because we didn't suggest that, for example, the 10-year-olds to the 50-year-olds have flu shots, except for high risks. But I've just put it up there so you can compare it with other data if you want. If anyone wants these, let me know. I didn't print them out for you for a reason. As we go on, there'll be some things in different colors that are relevant that I couldn't find a color printer down here. 65% almost adults 65 and older, and children 6 to 24 months old, which is what the recommendation was prior to 2005. Remember, we've just changed that. So these were the rates. We've had some challenges. You've had these challenges. In 2005 and 2004, back there, we had the shortages of vaccines. In 2006, we had a shortage of some vaccines. And then in California, we had the thimerosal-free legislation last year. The governor signed legislation saying that all children under 3 and all pregnant women, for those two groups, they may not have any vaccine that contains thimerosal. Now, you may remember that thimerosal was taken out of all vaccines in 2001, except flu vaccine. Okay. And the flu vaccine and the multi-dose vial still contains. And when we say, well, we've got to go to thimerosal-free anyway, and they say, well, you know, it takes so much longer to produce, and it's a long, complicated story, which I can't take time right now, but I'd be happy to talk with you about it later. But the point is, we were short of thimerosal-free vaccine last year, too, which didn't help. And so by law, you cannot give a kid under 3 vaccine with thimerosal of any kind, or a pregnant woman. And then in 2006, the recommended children's age is also changed to 6 months to 59 months. So this isn't a scientific study with the rigors of a before and after at Chi-square and what have you. This is just an experience. It's telling you what happened to us. And it's confounded by all these changes that occurred. In 2007, this year, we have an ample supply. But we have no media warnings this year about shortages or epidemics. And suddenly this year, all trimesters of pregnancy are included. Last year, it was only second and third trimester, so there's been this rolling set of changes. Region-wide interventions. In the 2005 flu seasons, postcards were sent from our central computer in Corona to all high-risk group people. They were identified by their ICD-9 codes, by the way, or by age groups. The InReach provider reminders during flu season, when a patient checks in and they stamp the card and the InReach comes up, which is the provider reminder, it also says flu during flu season. We had a telephone hotline for information as to where to get your flu shot for each medical center. In 2006, we changed those postcards to include more than just Spanish and English. We now have Vietnamese and a few other languages. The other reminders remain the same, except that some of our high-risk groups, like I know for a fact at our medical center, we have the regional cystic fibrosis center. So all the cystic fibrosis families got special personalized letters. Now, we'll go backtrack a bit here. This was 2005 and 6, all ages. And the red ones are the lows, and this is the range, and the green ones are the high ones. I didn't name the medical centers because I didn't want to embarrass anyone. And I didn't want to get killed when I get back anyway. mine is in the middle. I will tell you mine is number 5, and it's in the middle, and we're working very hard. But anyway, notice that medical center 11 is high and 10 is low on this one, and keep that in mind. And this is adults. For the special risk groups we looked at, 65 and older, asthma, coronary artery, congestive heart, chronic kidney and diabetes. And here again, look at, there's 11, which has, in all these, almost all but one are the highest. And then this one has several of the lows, and there's another. That is a mistake. I'm sorry about that. That is wrong. That should be down here for 36. It should be this one. So all the straight across would be that one. And I will fix that. So if you get one later from me, that will be fixed up. Now we're going to talk about pediatric age groups and compare 2 years. Again, there's all pediatrics together. That's in the age group that was being given the shots. This is pediatric asthma kids and the other ICDs, cystic fibrosis, diabetes, you name it. And 12 is a bit of a problem because they were on a different system. So when they converted to the KITS system, things didn't always go just so well, so we can ignore 12 for all practical purposes. Eleven high again in two. I'm coming to reasons for this in a minute. This is just to sort of show you an overall. But look at this. This is what we're not happy about. In 2004, compared with 2005 and 2006, there is no major change. The adult 65 and older so far have gone down. The pediatrics have slowly gone up. And overall, it's remained about the same. Now, here's the characteristics of the high and low medical centers. The medical centers with the highest rates had a population that had a higher educational level, higher income level, and less diversity. In other words, the medical center that had the highest was very high income, high education, and the majority, I won't say all, but certainly the majority of them were Caucasian. They are knocking at their door for the immunizations. And it's true not only for flu shots. My own medical center is in between these two groups. We have a very diverse population. We actually fit the low group here in what we're doing or what's happening, but we're actually in between the two because I think our doctors and nurses, our providers, are really out there trying to get these kids immunized, and I certainly am. But we have a much more diverse membership, and that includes a lot of people who do not speak English. We do have interpreter services both via telephone, and we have nurses who are certified to do interpreting. I always laugh because I'm bilingual, but I grew up in Milwaukee, where bilingual means German. No use in California. Construction, two of our medical centers in this lower group are actually building new medical centers, and the parking has become a bit more of a problem. And although we have though the parking is more remote, we have little trolleys that come in, but people get sort of eh. And one of the low ones has had no full-time permanent immunization coordinator, and the other low one has had one only half-time. And believe me, the type of work the immunization coordinator does is vital to raising immunization levels. We work largely with the provider, but we also answer questions from the patient. And when the provider can't handle a patient anymore who says, oh, I don't want my kids to have this shot because I think it's dangerous, they call the immunization coordinator. Now, Panorama, they're lucky because they get me, and I can give them, you know, a bit more because I'm on the vaccine safety data link study. But it's very interesting to see that this person down here is extremely important. So then, small sample, but I don't have the actual numbers, but I asked the actual physicians at Panorama to ask why their patients didn't get the flu shots last year. And they didn't wait till now. They asked in January and February of last year. I'm healthy. Don't need them. Don't believe in shots. What do you do when your ER department administrator doesn't believe in flu shots? So that's a good example for staff, doesn't he? Anyway, he's not there anymore. Not for that reason, but he's not there anymore. A lot of them will say shots make you sick. I don't like needles. Shots are bad for your heart. I or my child, and this one we get all the time. I or my child gets sick 2 days after the flu shot every single year. And when you've got a nurse who takes off 2 days after the flu shot every single year and is sick and has a medical excuse, you begin to wonder. And we've also got doctors who will write medical excuses very easily. Don't record that one. This one troubled us a lot, and this was in the cystic fibrosis and the diabetes area. The parents would say, my child has a routine appointment for February. I didn't want to bother to bring him in earlier for the flu shot. We'll get it in February. Now that's fine maybe in a year like keep your fingers crossed. We haven't had a single documented case of the flu in Los Angeles County as of last week. It's been a couple in Orange County. Whereas some years we get them much earlier. But remember, it takes 2 weeks at least for the immunity levels to get there after this flu immunization. So the person who's immunized with the flu vaccine and 2 days later comes down with the flu was already incubating the flu before he or she ever got the shot, or right about the same time. We've also had some problems with provider attitudes. If the provider doesn't take the shot or doesn't promote it, his or her attitude toward the patient isn't going to be. Now, I just want to stop one moment and tell you that one of the other things we did that in my center that I'll add is we decided that it might be really smart in the pediatrics department. I noticed that pediatrics, the little kids were being brought in by their grandparents during the day because their parents were working. And so I said, couldn't we have an all-ages clinic in peds? We have an adult clinic in another building, and then the peds kids were getting their shots in pediatrics. And I said, look, let's give all-ages flu shots. Let's nab these people. So we did this starting 2 years ago. And the problem was we only had it afternoons. This year, for the first time now in 2007, it's all day. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm almost done. So here comes 2007. This is what's going on right now. So I just want you to know what's going on. We still got all these first ones, but we started this. Last week, we started telephone calls to the high-risk groups 2 weeks into the flu season. We look who's already been in and then call the ones who haven't. Because with kits, I instantly can find out who was in yesterday, the day before, or whatever, and I can look at the diabetes high-risk group and say, okay, as of yesterday, these people weren't here. Let's get these, call them and try to get them in. So these are my observations 3 weeks into this flu season. And this is what's worrying me so far compared with last year. 3 weeks in, we've had fewer people show up for shots. There's been no media coverage as to look out, there's going to be a shortage. And there's no media coverage as to possible epidemics. Now, I may be wrong, but I think that those bottom two items are making a tremendous difference. And I don't know if we're going to catch up with last year. So what now? I think we need to do more emphasis on patient education and some more provider education. This year we have a California declination form for providers who do not personally receive flu immunizations. It's required by the state. So it means healthcare providers who do not get a flu shot have to sign this declination form, which also has on it why they're not taking the shot. So this will be very interesting to see what happens if that improves the employee rate or the provider rate, and if that subsequently might influence the kids. But do you have any other ideas? I mean, we are almost at a loss of how to get these kids and parents in for flu vaccines in the absence of an epidemic or tremendous media coverage. And I really would love to have any other ideas. I've got about a half a minute to a minute, and that's what I was hoping you could add something to this. And I'm getting nobody. Okay. I've said let's go to the door with the needle to where they live and say, we do that for nursing homes and we do it for home health care. We go to them. But, you know, we can't very well for the general. Put those in the link.
Yes.
I don't think you're putting adults into link, but I know you're putting kids in. Okay. If the people the card that went out to all high risks, it said on it, if you get your shot elsewhere, please call this number and tell us, and then we'll enter it into KITS as immunization given elsewhere. It's so identified that you can tell it's a different one. We will do that, but I'll call Dr. Nelson and his crew and see what's going on down there, because I practically live down there half the time anyway in the health department. So that's a good idea. I'll see if there's any way to get any that we may have missed. Thank you.